Welcome to the Thirst World Problems Podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
This is Bell coming at you behind the mic on Thirst World Problems, and today we are taking a look at a little bit of NFL football. So we talked a little bit about the social dynamics and what was going on with the league, and now that we've reached the end, or pretty much the end of week five here, I think we still got the Monday nighter. There's been a lot of talk about preseason and how important preseason has been. I know a lot of teams have their fantasy teams have been decimated, so I'm getting a lot of debate or a lot of talks with some people in my league saying that we should throw out this league just because it's been so crazy with COVID, with all the crazy injuries that have been happening, and some big name stars have been going out. I know my lineup's been decimated. I had Godwin, he's gone, Julio gone. My running backs, Eckler gone. I've just been going off the waiver wire. And as bad as my team has been hit up, there's been some major injuries to some key players around the league. I know there's one that kind of caught your attention there, especially with all the contract talks around him.
The Dak injury. When I saw it yesterday, it was just mad. There was just a twisting in my stomach because, you know, obviously everyone goes through stuff. Issues come up and you pass them, but like, you know, everyone knows kind of the storied contract talks that they haven't given him the money. And, you know, they paid a lot of other people. They paid Zeke. They paid DeMarcus Lawrence, all these guys. And, you know, they didn't pay the quarterback yet. And it didn't even seem like he was whining about it or anything like that. He, you know, didn't want to hold out or anything. And, you know, the 1% chance that something happens, you know, it happened to him. And, you know, we don't know the extent. Yeah, well, we know the extent because he got surgery, but this is like an Alex Smith type. You know, Alex Smith obviously was a lot worse. He's had 16, 17 surgeries and
infections.
Almost lost his leg. And that kind of thing, right? So he's back, but like it's going to be a hard road back. I don't even know if it's next year he's back. I'm assuming it would be, but that's a pretty tight timeline to be back. And then, you know, he had that situation with his brother suicide like in April, and it's hits pretty hard. And, you know, I hope they pay him, but it's tough now, right? Because, and this is what I was telling you guys yesterday, loyalty doesn't matter, man. Like, you know, if he played like that, they didn't pay him when he didn't miss one start. They didn't pay him when, you know, Cowboy fans love Dak, right? And they didn't pay him then. And they're not going to pay him now, man. Like, I don't think we're going to see him in a Cowboy jersey.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, his injury is pretty substantial, and you're right. Like, he took the risk and he said, okay, I'll sign the franchise tag, and then, you know, I'll prove myself and show you guys that I deserve the money. And he's kind of been the face of the franchise and listening to Jerry Jones and kind of like, you know, toeing the line and doing everything that he needed to do, not rocking the boat at all, especially when it came to a lot of the racial issues that were going around the league and the hard stance that Jones took. But on the other side of that, and this is, I guess, the only pushback I have, is watching football for as long as I've been watching football and understanding that guaranteed contracts is still a fairly new situation. They did offer Dak, what was it, 33 or 34? For, what was it, 7 years or something like that, with 100 guaranteed. So he had a chance. That's a contract that he turned down. So he had a chance to take that money and get the guaranteed money. Now, I get it. He fancies himself a more substantial quarterback for that. And I guess a lot of the pressures, too, that come along with being the Dallas Cowboy quarterback, he faced it. And like I said, he did his job. But for me, I always get scared whenever anyone turns down guaranteed money in the NFL, simply because back in the day there wasn't any guaranteed money. So if you can get guaranteed money from some of these owners, I'm like, you got to take it just because of how dangerous football actually is. And I know we said there was like a 1% chance, but man, I'm watching, and that's the thing. You don't know what injury it's going to be. You just get rolled up on in a pile, and that could be it, man. Like, for me, I guess I'm too risk averse, and I'd want that money in my pocket as quickly as possible.
Oh, Oh, I don't want the money. Yeah, I would take the money immediately.
Like, it's just dangerous. I mean, we're looking at a guy like Chris Godwin. I know he's on my fantasy team, so I'm bringing him back up. But he went through, what did we say? It's only the fifth week. We're going into week six after the Monday Nighter here, right?
Yep.
So he's already had like an ankle injury, like or hammy, and then he came back, and then he got hit in the head, and he's gone for the concussion protocol. Came back, re-aggravated. I believe it was the same hit, so now he's gone again. So this is almost like the third time of him leaving the lineup. And last season, stellar. Season before that, stellar. Like, you don't know who it's going to be or what injury it's going to be. Same thing can be said of a Julio Jones or Eckler. This was supposed to be his big breakout year. He's been durable for the most part, and boom, hit in the head. And then on the defensive side of things, how many guys have dropped out? And then even with COVID, you had Cam Newton come back and was like, takes no money at all, has a chance to prove himself. Starts off pretty solid. COVID situation. Now, how long is he going to be out? How many games is he missing? He comes back in. What happens to his incentives? That like his contract was super incentive based. Like, there's just too much going on in this league that the slightest thing could take you down. And I don't know if a lot of these football players, even a lot of the top guys, understand how quickly a career could be over. You mentioned Alex Smith earlier, and this is the first time in what, two and a half years that he was back on the field. So, I mean, it's a situation where you can go from being a starting household name in the league to being out of the league or injured permanently just based on the nature of the sport. So when you have a chance of guaranteed money.
Yeah, man, I don't know. It was something more, I don't know. It hurt me more than it should, I guess. Right. So, and yeah, with the injuries thing, it's been bad. Like, for me, I haven't really lost anyone in terms of fantasy teams. Like, I lost Christian McCaffrey, but other than that, I've dodged most of it, and my team has been good enough to kind of stay a little bit above 500 and probably get McCaffrey back soon. So I haven't been hit too hard, but you know, like, the best players have been out, but now it's kind of getting to a point where how much is the preseason still weighing, because we're already in 5 weeks, right? So now is the preseason still an issue? Because the big thing I've been seeing is hamstring injuries. I don't know what's going on with people's hamstrings. Like, we saw it with Dalvin Cook yesterday. I think Godwin's a hamstring. Mike Evans is a hamstring, right? A lot of these running backs, Nick Chubb is a hamstring, right? So there's a lot of running backs, wide receivers, that have just been out because of that, right? So,
well, yeah, when we look at all of those injuries, and you said you only lost McCaffrey, but that's another top guy, right? And if we look at a lot of these injuries, yeah, everyone says, well, we need a preseason. A lot of these guys aren't playing a lot of snaps in preseason as well. Now, the training might be picked up a bit more, but I mean, they could be doing that on their own in their own facilities. That was a big push on for COVID, why they didn't want to do a bubble, because everyone wanted their own facilities. So they could have been doing a more intense workout and preparation. So I don't know if preseason is necessarily the answer, but just some of the names that we mentioned already. If you go back and you look at like some of the player rankings coming into the season, all of those are top guys that we're talking about. Now, there hasn't been that many, I guess, top quarterbacks that have left. But if you flip that to a different sport, like basketball or something, you're talking about, maybe LeBron is still around, and maybe, you know, like KD is still there, some of your top guys. But then, like, from 4 through, like, 20, all your top players are gone for at least some amount of time. And could you imagine what that would do to a league like basketball, where everyone is so much more visible? So the league is still, I think the league is actually suffering from a lot of these injuries. But the thing is, everyone's going to watch football, and business continues to go, and they could almost play over replacement players. So I think that's the other thing when you're getting back to the whole Dak injury is, you're right, man. Like, loyalty doesn't exist, especially when it comes down to paying someone this kind of money. It is a just cold and calculated business decision at the end of the day.
Yep. they're not going to do it. And that's why I don't want to hear it anymore, this loyalty and stay with one team. And, well, what does that do, right? It didn't do Dwayne Wade that well either when they didn't fucking pay him and made him go to another team, right? So we've seen it many times, and that's it, right? Remember when Miami wouldn't pay him like $2-3 million more? That in like 2015 or 16 or something, and he had to go to Chicago to get it, right? Because he's been taking pay cuts all the whole time, and they thought they were a contender then.
Well, it's always so interesting because you always hear people and people that you have conversations with, especially casual sports fans, always seem to side with ownership when it comes to things like that. And I can never wrap my head around, why are you supporting the billionaires? And we're like, well, those guys are making millions of dollars. Did you not hear it? Like, what do you think owners make if the athletes are making millions of dollars? They're not doing this out of the kindness of their heart. And there's very few owners that are actually super passionate about their team. Like, if you look around, you look to say, well, who's at the games all the time? NFL does a better job of it. But even still, if you looked at all the owners across the league, the attendance is probably around 50%, maybe 60% at best. You see guys like Ballmer and Cuban at games, but what about, I don't know, like the Sacramento Kings owner? Are they always there? Like, so when you see these owners that are super passionate and cheering their guys on, okay, those guys are more the exception to the rule than general ownership. Well, I don't understand why the everyday person.
Just imagine if it was
an everyday job to, like, you know, in that kind of situation came up. Like, you've got a guy stocking the shelves at this grocery store or something, and he goes up on a ladder and like twists his ankle, and he's going to be out, or breaks his ankle, and he's going to be out for like, you know, like 6 months or something. And ownership's like,
guaranteed contract.
Yeah. Owner's like, all right, we're gonna have to cut you. Come back and we'll see what happens when you're 100% healthy. But right now, forget it. Like, that's why we have those things like workers' comp in place, right? And we expect a company to stick with an employee if they got hurt at the job or they weren't unable to come in for whatever reason. Look at what we're doing with like CERB here and during COVID and all this kind of stuff, right? But when it comes to athletes, where a guy, like, did you see the picture? And we got to post that. I guess we'll post it. But did you see the picture of Dak's ankle?
Yeah, man. It's because it's already going that way. And then the defender basically just steps on it. Right? And it literally is just, it's just flat, man. His ankle is, the side of his ankle is touching the ground. Right?
Oh, those are the type of injuries that always make me wonder. Like, and they're like, oh, like, yeah, he might be gone for a year. Like, okay, so he might not be back till next year. And this is a guy who has access to all kinds of medical technology, the best doctors. Like, he's got enough energy, like, he's got enough resources where, like, he doesn't have to do anything extra. He's not chasing any kids around, or he's not, like, changing a tire. He's not making himself breakfast and stuff like that. He has resources that he can get that come in, and he can get the help that he needs. Now, imagine if a regular person had that type of injury. Just how do you ever come back from something like that when you're just like, yeah, I got to go down to the hospital and wait 4 hours before I get seen, and then my next appointment is 8 months from now, and in between that they told me to, like, you know, do a little rehab at home watching these YouTube videos.
Yeah, well, for something serious like that, like in Canada, for example, you probably wouldn't have to wait very long. You'd probably be in, but imagine the US, right? Like, you can't even, some people won't even go in, man, right? Because you go in and they do anything on you, the bill's 10 grand, right? It's not even a joke, right? Like, yeah. You go, you're on the hook. You have to pay.
It's such a big difference between what these athletes go through in their everyday life and what we deem, I guess, is appropriate and okay for them to have to go through and endure. And I mean, even if we want to bring it back a little bit more to, we just saw the NBA finals finish up and wrap up, and we'll see if Nick jumps on and we can get into it with him. But just from a, like, an everyday standpoint and situation, Danny Green misses that shot in in game 5 and gets death threats sent to him and his fiance. Like, his fiance has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not Danny Green hits that shot, but she's caught in the crossfire there. Could you imagine at your job where if you have an off day, you're going to get home and get a bunch of death threats about like how bad of a service you were, or like how you made them the wrong drink or whatever it is. Like, just the expectations that we put on these athletes to also be superhuman and then also have to endure like the same blights that everyday employees have to go through is kind of ridiculous when you really think about it. But is that okay, understanding the compensation that they're rewarded with?
I don't think so. Everyone says that all the time. Well, they get paid this much and stuff. I don't think it really matters, man, how much. Obviously, it matters. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, say something happens and you have just a crazy amount of money. That's a cushion, right? Like, you can't. I don't think you can really say that, you know, if you're, it's kind of like that saying, you know, if you're sad about something or someone's coming at you or something and you're getting bullied or something, and you're rich, well, it might not affect you as much, right? But what's worse, getting bullied and stuff like that and you're rich, or getting bullied and called on death threats and you're poor, right? Like, it's, there is a difference, right? That's the elephant in the room. I'm not going to say that there's no change to that. I think that would be pretty dumb to say, but I don't know. The death threats thing didn't surprise me. Like, when I read it, I was like, well, this has happened 30 times before in a major, right? There's so many people that's been happened to. So
for sure. For sure. And I guess that's my point, though. We're at a stage where that doesn't surprise us, where guys are, you're getting death threats for playing a game, missing a shot. Like, it came down to what, like a 2-point game. How many other guys missed layups or whatever was throughout the game that would have tied it? But we're able to pinpoint it to Danny Green missing the one shot that I guess he's known for.
I think it's a casual fan striking again.
Right? So, I don't know, man. It gets interesting when you start to, if we applied, and I want to do a full episode one day where we actually do that, where we take a bunch of examples from what is acceptable and some of the quotes and stuff that you hear about in sports and the headlines and the reactions people have, and just equate the exact same thing that's happening in sports to an everyday job and put that out, and people would lose their shit once they realize, like, okay, so the expectations of one thing over here is this, and then on the flip side of it, whoa. And that's how those people would be treated if they were just regular employees at some other job. And I think that would open a lot of people's eyes, man, because some of the things that we say and we do, and I mean, we're guilty of it too. We'll rip a guy if he's having a crazy off game, right? And I guess in the same vein, though, you also get crazy praise if you have a, if you have an historic performance, I should say, right? So I guess there's definitely good and bad, but I love to take a deeper look at some of the stuff and see what people are thinking and saying. And if I don't know if that's something that you think is interesting and you guys are listening here to Thirst World Problems, just let us know at thirstworldproblems.ca. And why don't you hit us up on IG at Thirst World Problems? Let us know your thoughts on the NFL as it stands now and who you side with more often than not. Make sure you check out our latest poll, whether it's ownership or the players themselves.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.